we're so excited to have with us tonight Pastor Chris Hodges. Pastor Chris Hodges pastors an amazing church in Birmingham, Alabama. 40,000 people in 14 campus locations throughout the state of Alabama, and I think even some beyond the state of Alabama. Is that right? Or are they all in the state of Alabama? This guy is, I met him many, many years ago, and Sharon and I, as soon as we met him, honestly, fell in love with his heart, with his integrity, with his openness, his transparency, the church that he pastors. He's one of those guys. I mean, if you pastor a church on a Sunday morning, 40,000 people, sometimes you meet some pastors who kind of think, you know, it's a shame you haven't met me. Do you know what I mean? And, they think it's a shame people don't know who I think I am. Chris is nothing like that. He's the most down-to-earth, conversational, and yet strategic and influential leaders in the United States today. He spoke for us on Sunday. And I tell you, it's one of those, God is a way of keeping you humble, because we just had lightning strike our building two or three weeks ago. Our entire sound system blew up. I mean, we had to put an old sound desk in to rescue our sound. And it was some of the worst sounding sound we've ever had in our church's history Sunday morning. And I'm trying to fight depression, going, I want to make a good impression for Pastor Chris Hodges, who was 40,000 people. And our sound to that day was just not the sound people. They are amazing. They made it sound so much better than it. I mean, everything blew up. Everything. The air, everything blew up. And then Sunday night, I'm thinking, well, okay, we're going to do something. It'll be, I said, now the worship, it'll be louder. And Sunday night was the worst thunder electrical storm in 1,000 years. I'm not exaggerating. In 1,000 years. And I walked up into the green room and I said, I don't know who's going to be there tonight, but I think there's going to be more people in this green room than will be in the auditorium. And fortunately, praise God, our people rallied as best they could. I'm getting text messages the whole night, like right up to the service. Can't come, flooded in. One of our elders, Joe Monaco, can't come, flooded in. So many different people can't. And then my phone is going off. Alert, danger, stay indoors. People are dying, floods. Am I exaggerating? I mean, it was Aunt Luke, your phone warned you, and he's from New Zealand, and his phone is warning him from New Zealand, don't be in Virginia Beach. So you're trying to put your best. Come on, let's be honest, then, you pastors. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You just want to give your best, and God has a way of keeping you humble. Praise the Lord. It's going to be awesome. So I want everybody to stand to your feet, and I want you to welcome one of God's generals, without a doubt, Pastor Chris Hodges from Birmingham, Alabama.
Awesome. All right. Come on, give Jesus a great praise, everybody. Now won't you praise like you want your people to praise when you say that? Come on. Yeah. That's what I thought. All right. Give somebody a high five before you see it. Tell them, look like you've been losing weight. Come on, tell them. I always tell people that's my favorite compliment ever. It's never true, but it's my favorite compliment, so. In fact, I seriously need to lose some weight. I set a goal at the beginning of the year to lose 20 pounds over the course of 2016, and I'm halfway through the year, and I have 30 pounds to go, everybody. So, praise God. So, anyway, it's good to be with you guys. It really is. I've had a blast this weekend, and the church was amazing in every way, and I did. I got one of those danger. I've never even gotten one of those before on my phone. The danger, don't go wherever you're going warning on my cell phone on the way to church Sunday night. It was, I've never seen rain like it. And man, that place, I was shocked. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people there worshiping God with all their heart. And it is great in every way. And I mean, you don't have to be around Pastor Steve and Sharon long to just fall absolutely in love. Isn't that right, everybody? I mean, I don't know what vitamins you take, but I want them. You know, you got more energy, too. And I just love you with all my heart. You're a dear friend. I'm grateful to God. Seriously, I'm grateful to God that he put us together in friendship and in strategic ways to do more together than we could ever do alone. Y'all show some love to our hosts, everybody. Come on. Both of them are just exceptional. Come on, you can do better than that. Yeah, it's awesome. And got to spend May. I went to New Zealand for the very first time in May and spent time with Pastor Paul and Marie and just loved it. We three of us went out on the ocean fishing together, and it was awesome. It's just, thank God for friends. Amen, everybody? And can I just salute you for being here? I don't know where I would be without friends in the ministry and coming to events like this. I mean, thank God for conferences. I like them, but that's not honestly the place where my life has been changed. My life has been changed more through the hallway conversations at conferences and events like this and going out to eat and being together. So I salute you for not being at home. I know there's probably stuff at home you could be doing right now, and you're not doing it because you see the value in being part of a dynamic network. And so I'm thrilled. I'm under strict orders of what to bring to you guys. Pastor C said, here's what you got, and I'll give you two sessions, and here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to give one session where you just invest in them as a leader, and then I want you to get, in another session, get all up in the weeds, making their churches grow and stronger, and systems and details. That's kind of what I'm known for, is kind of the systems and the details that make stuff like that work. And so I'll bring you that tomorrow, but I do have something I want to bring to you that'll just strengthen you as a leader. And so this is all for you. So you kind of, in a little bit, got to figure out you even have a church and you're trying to make it grow. And Sunday's coming. Y'all don't realize that, everybody. Y'all realize it keeps coming. Like every 6 days, it keeps showing up. It just keeps coming around. And so I know that's hard not to get that on your mind. But I really want to help you. If I had to give you everything I know about making church work in a minute, if I had to tell you everything I know in a minute, here's what my answer would be, and that is that the churches that work do four things. They have right systems, and systems is what you've created to deliver your vision. I talk about that tomorrow a whole lot, but it doesn't matter what your vision is if you don't have a great system to deliver that vision. And that's a fact, and that's why McDonald's, the worst hamburger all of us have ever eaten, is the best hamburger franchise in the world. Because Ray Kroc's genius was not the burger. Ray Kroc's genius was the drive-through window, the five cash registers at one time, the Happy Meal, the playground. The system that delivered the vision made it more successful than having. There are great hamburger franchises. There are great people who can make a great hamburger who don't have a great hamburger business. So we have to talk about that. It's just a reality, okay? So your vision actually in itself does not matter if you cannot deliver your vision in a way where people want it. And we'll kind of dig into the weeds of that tomorrow. Second thing I would say is not only just right systems, but it takes right culture. I always say culture trumps everything. So you can do the wrong thing in an exceptional culture, get a whole lot more done than doing the right thing in a really bad culture. Because the product itself is not what causes things to grow. Jesus taught us that parable in Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through, I think it's 29, where he says, all by itself that the seed is growing, he says, and it's the soil that produces that fruit, not the seed itself. So you can preach your brains out, pray your brains out, and nothing happen if the condition that preaching and praying is in is not the right conditions. So you can take a seed, throw it on the stage. You can come back a year from now. That seed is going to be right there where you left it, okay? You find some good dirt, and you'll have fruit off of that. So culture is very important. Love talking about culture. Not going to get a chance to talk too much about culture because of time. But that's a great – I just want to say it to let you know. Don't forget about it, okay? Just don't forget about it. It's very important. And in a word, your culture needs to be life-giving. Life-giving. It's the tree of life versus the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's always two ways to deliver a truth, and that is you have to do it or you get to do it, all right? So that's what you always want to deliver, this life-giving culture. The third thing, we won't have time to talk about this either, but it's very important, and that is right people. So right systems, right culture, right people. Don't ever underestimate the people. I'm 15 years in our church plant now, and we have had exceptional growth, and I say that in a way where you'd have to know me to know how true this is. No one's more amazed than me. I still cry. I still pinch myself driving on the property. I know me better than anybody else, and if you knew me like I know me, you'd be worshiping God right now. Like, oh my God, that is a miracle. That's like you would. I mean, it really is. I mean that in every sense. I'm shocked. I'm amazed in every way. If I though did any one thing well, it's the team I built. And I'm really kind of a tenacious, almost like a successful college football program. I never stop recruiting, never stop developing, never stop building, never stop training, never. Every day, every single day, I think it's one of the most overlooked, most important things a key leader must do to have a great work. Because when you want to get something done, you have to have the people to pull it off. Vision can never outpace the people you have to pull it off. And a lot of times, in most cases, it actually does. The last thing, and the one thing I want to kind of talk about, is just the God factor. And I want to say it a different way. It's the God in you factor. It's the God. So it's not even just God. God has always had a hope, and that hope is that his glory dwells in you. So I don't think y'all caught that. Let me say that again. So the God factor isn't that we just sat idly by and then bam, God shows up and bam. No, no, no. He's always shown up through people. Colossians says it this way. It's Christ in us. That's the hope of glory. So the hope of glory, the word kabod in the Hebrew means the full weight of who God is. So the full weight of who God is can flow through you, Christ in you. That's the hope. That's his hope, is that he has anointed ministers of God, that they carry something with them, and some great things happen. So I want to start there, because you can't overlook that one either, just this anointing of God in people's lives. And Bill Hybels says it this way, that the local church is the hope of the world, but its future rests in the hands of its leaders. So it really doesn't matter. The church will never be what the church is supposed to be until leaders lead it well. And unfortunately, it's not going so well among our profession, everybody. Fuller Theological Seminary just did a study and said there are 1,500 pastors leaving the ministry every month right now. They're just quitting. 50% of all preachers' marriages in America are ending in divorce right now. 80% feel unqualified to do what they do. So they're doing a job they don't feel like they can pull off, actually. 50% would leave the ministry if they could figure out another way to make money. That one's the only one there that I think is funny. But anyway, because we don't know how to do nothing else, do we, y'all? We've been doing this our whole lives. So anyway, it's like, if I can't preach, I'm going to starve, you know? So that's it's kind of... They say 70% constantly fight depression. In fact, I heard this week on a major news network that America is now consuming 90% of the world's antidepressant medicine. So that's just kind of a good thing to know whenever you get on a stage, that's who you're talking to. That's not a bad thing to... And people are depressed, y'all. You know what I'm saying? And then 70% of them are us. And so... I don't know if you're on the drugs or not, but you're dealing with it. But 40% have admitted to having some level of an extramarital affair, either emotionally or all the way physically. 70% said the only time they spend time in God's word is just to study for a message, so they don't read it otherwise. And then this is the why this network's so important. 90% are lonely, lonely. And you can be in a room full of people and still feel lonely. And so thank God we have a place we can come. I applaud Pastor Steve and everyone who leads this. These are needed. These are absolutely necessary for us to do our job. So well done, everyone. I want to talk to you, though, a little bit about this leadership crisis and a way for us to develop ourselves as leaders. In fact, I have built really the framework of how I pastor my staff around the teaching I'm going to give you right here. And so let me kind of give you the theological side, and I'm kind of known for practical. I like practical stuff. I can't stand to be inspired and don't know what to do when I walk out the door. And then I like it. I'll teach it so simple. I mean, I'm from Louisiana, everybody. I don't know if I got any Louisiana people here, but we 50th on every list. Praise the Lord, you know. So, all right. And then I was a C student in the middle of all that. So I'm already starting off in the bottom of the pack, but then I'm in the bottom of the bottom, you know. So I like to make things real. I think one of my gifts is I take complicated things and make them simple. And so I'm going to put the cookies on the bottom shelf so everybody can have one. All right, everybody? Sound good? But I want to give you my favorite leadership verse in the whole world is Daniel. In fact, I spent the last... about 36 hours. I preached all weekend for Pastor Steve, and then I've actually spent the last day and a half in my hotel room. Pastor Steve just let me lock myself in because I'm in the middle of a writing project that's due this month on the book of Daniel as a book about how Christians should respond to an ever-shifting culture. and using Daniel as the backdrop. And so I'm just like engrossed in Daniel right now. But this is already my favorite verse, my leadership favorite leadership verse ever. And it says in chapter 6, verse 1, that it pleased Darius. Darius is the third administration that Daniel is now serving, by the way. He serves four in his 18 to about 70-year-old stint in Babylon. And it says it pleased Darius, who's this third one, to appoint 120 basically staff members. Let me just read it in today's language, to rule. So his lead staff to rule throughout the kingdom, three administrators over them, and one of whom is Daniel. So he's got three on his executive team, and Daniel's one of them. And the rest of them are Babylonians. Daniel's one of them because he was a nobility that made most of the Hebrews slaves, but he was so smart when he got kidnapped, you know, and that they brought him right into the administration. And the satraps were made accountable to them so the king might not suffer loss. Show them the next verse. And now Daniel, watch this. So even among, he's got 120 people on staff, and then there's three people on the executive team. But Daniel distinguished himself. So what I like about it, it didn't say he was distinguishing. It says he distinguished himself. He made himself. So, and I always like to say that to people, because if you don't think you have qualities that stand out, like, because sometimes I'm around the bigwigs, and I get a little intimidated, because they're, you know, they got some pretty powerful personalities in this church world, this world we call church, right, everybody? And I always think, man, I could never do that. But the Bible says you can. The Bible says you can distinguish yourself among the administrators and the satraps by, here's the two words, by exceptional qualities. I'm going to talk about the four that I teach my staff. So I'm going to treat you like my staff here tonight and teach you exceptional qualities. And here's the result of that, by the way. When you distinguish yourself with exceptional qualities, the king will say, well, man, if you're going to do that, well, I'll just go ahead and give you the whole thing. So let me say it in spiritual terms, that you can have more territory in your city if you'll distinguish yourself with exceptional qualities. God's going to go, whoa, you're going to act like that? Oh, well then here, take another section of that city you live in. Go ahead and take another section of the country you live in. Yeah, I'm serious about it. And I really believe, so we all pray, oh Lord, enlarge my territory. Yeah, and God's going, well, I'm kind of waiting on you. And if you'll distinguish yourself with some exceptional qualities, I'll give you more, all right? So everybody with me, say, yep. All right. So the question is, if we were to have exceptional qualities, what would those be? And let me just go ahead and, for the sake, I usually kind of develop this a little bit more, but for the sake of time, it's Jesus. We need to look like Jesus, right? I mean, like, the qualities are our Lord. In fact, when we were part of a launch team 15 years ago, we had a discussion one night about what does Jesus look like, because we felt like our church needed to look like Jesus. And so we actually came up with 26 different adjectives to describe Jesus that night. And we end up hanging our hat on these qualities, just a few. I'm gonna give you four of his qualities. But 2 Corinthians says this about his qualities, about Jesus' qualities, that the Lord is a spirit, and the word spirit is the word pneuma in the Greek, and it means a breath of fresh air. And by the way, that's a lot of the culture stuff that I've written in this book, and I sell these, but not to leaders. So if you want one, take one. Seriously. So if Pastor Stephen gives stuff away, I'm going to give stuff away too. All right? So they're out there. I'd much rather have this in the hands of leaders than anybody else. So if you want it, take it. That's my policy with that. But that's out there. But where the Spirit of God is, there's this freshness. And where that is, there's freedom, so people's lives are changed. And then it tells us, though, the secret to getting that kind of power and freshness and culture in our churches, that we, who with unveiled faces are supposed to reflect what Jesus looks like. And there's that word, by the way, again, glory, the full weight of who God is. So are y'all understanding this, everybody? Like, the secret to anointing is what you look like, the qualities. It goes back to that same thing. So this is a New Testament version of Daniel chapter 6, and it says, and we are, what we can be is transformed into that likeness, and it happens incrementally. You're going to more like it, that's what glory to glory means. It happens, just keep getting more and more, and that's what I want to urge you to do. That verse is the goal, because I know if we can carry that kind of likeness and that kind of personality, if you will, of Jesus, We'll have environments where this breath of fresh air now happens. And if that's there, freedom happens and lives are changed. It's just pretty awesome, all right? So you get this snowball effect. So I want to help us with that. Now the question is, then what does he look like? And how do you even know? And And because we know there's really kind of two likenesses of Jesus. There's the earth. We get the gospel version of what he looks like. And then you get, then you got the heavenly version. Because remember, John the Beloved, one of the disciples, spent time with Jesus. So he knew what he looked like, right? But then in Revelation 1, when he saw him and it's glorified, remember the hair, wool, and sword out of the mouth and eyes of fire? Remember he passed out. Remember that in Revelation 1? And so there's a glorified version of Jesus. But that's the version we're supposed to be like, because it says we're supposed to be changed into his likeness, which is with ever-increasing glory. Are y'all following that, everybody? So that's the version I want to look at, is the glorified. So then the question is, then where is that? And then according to Scripture, that version is in this four living creature that's in the middle of the throne. So some of you remember they got the 24 elders in a circle, and you got this creature, one body, four heads. It's talked about in Ezekiel chapter 1 and in Revelation chapter 4. And it says in the center around the throne was this four living creature, and it's got four faces. If I was to give this message a title, I'd call it the four faces of glory, or the four faces of the likeness of God, or the four faces that we need to reflect. And the four faces are this lion, it's the face of a man, face of an eagle, and the face of an ox. And they say, Chris, are you sure that's the likeness of what Jesus looks like? Ezekiel says it. Ezekiel actually says it in verse 10 and verse 27, I believe. In Ezekiel 1, 10 and then back, and then toward the later part of the chapter. This is the likeness of the glory of God. This is what he looks like. Okay, so all that to say, now let's get to the practical part. That's the theology. So that's our goal. Now this four living creature becomes our goal. And so I always tell my staff, I'm gonna measure you on two things every year. We do a performance review. We have about a little over 300 people on staff. And so we'll do a performance review, like did you get your job done? And then we're gonna do a character quality review. And we actually do Christmas bonuses based on what I'm teaching you right now. Like, because I know if they'll reflect this, our church is gonna grow like crazy. Because the Spirit of God's gonna be there. And then if the Spirit of God's there, freedom and life change is gonna happen. Are y'all following me, everybody? That's how desperate I am for this. And the first face is the face of the lion. And the face of the lion is the face of this power of God, or I call it the love of God. You love God. You're possessing God in his power and his glory inside of you. It's the face of the lion. With that comes boldness. Proverbs says the righteous are as bold as a lion. They just, and what's interesting is each one of these four faces, it's kind of fun to talk about. They correspond with the Gospels. So maybe in some way, the reason why we even have four Gospels is there was no way you were going to ever be able to describe what Jesus looks like in one account of the story. And that it would even show a quality that's even deeper than the story itself. And it's true because John's Gospel is different from the other three in that he was trying to show Jesus as the Son of God. He wasn't trying to show him as a man or a servant or a healer or any of the. He was trying, like, no, this is God. And so we get all the I ams in John, and you get the power side of who he is. You get the Holy Spirit in chapter 14 and chapter 16. I mean, are you following me, everybody? And part of the face that you have to carry, and this is the one you probably already know, but you just need to be reminded, is to carry the face of the power of God. Like you're possessing this power of God, and it comes from your love for God. So the power of God doesn't come from quivering your voice. It doesn't come from, okay, or imitating your favorite preacher, okay? No, ministry is the overflow of your love relationship with Jesus. That's what it is. So I spend time with God for what I need, but I've got to spend so much time with him that it's spilling over now, and the spillover is ministry. Because remember they said in Acts chapter 4 that they were unschooled, ordinary men. I can so relate to that. The disciples were unschooled, ordinary men, yet they took note that they had spent time, they had been with Jesus. They're like, dude, you're different. You've been with somebody. You're just a little bit different. And on this, here's what I just want to say to you. And that is, I am meeting at an epidemic rate, Pastor Paul, and it's driving me crazy. The number of people in ministry who don't spend time with God anymore. Like the studies are, it's less than 7 minutes a day. Like not reading your Bible, like I said, not reading your Bible except for preparing messages. You lost your worship. You lost your time with God. That just doesn't exist anymore. And I'm on mission to call pastors back to their personal prayer times. I think the major culprit has been all things digital. So don't raise your hand, but how many go to this first before you go to God's word? How many check Instagram or Twitter before? It's epidemic. I think it's dangerous. I think it's really dangerous. And I'm encouraging you to develop your closeness with God again, to develop your character. I'm teaching. I influence and pastor a lot of young leaders, and I've got some pastors that I pastor, and I spend time with them, and there are a lot of young guys, and I'm really working with them because they have more of an exposure to the secular than I ever did growing up. So I grew up in a real holiness kind of a background, and so I've never owned a secular song in my life. I can't even tell you one group. I couldn't tell you one person. You can name a person, and I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I don't know. What I am saying is that it has served me pretty well not to be too connected to the world. And all I tell people is I don't tell you where the line is, but I unapologetically tell you to grapple with how much of the secular you're going to allow in your life. That it does make a difference how much of this line power you're going to have in your life. So it, because you can grieve the Holy Spirit. He can say, you know what? I don't think I'm going to church with you tomorrow. I mean, he can do that. And then you're on your own. Good luck. Right? And just so I'm just telling you, there is, we have to grapple with that. We have to grapple. I always say with this face of the lion, to develop your closeness, develop your character, develop your calling. Grow, and you're doing it because you're taking notes, and I'm not going to preach that. But you got to grow in your love for God, and out of that comes this face, this Book of John face of a leader, is love for God. So I tell my staff unapologetically, I say, the best thing you do for me is not your skill set. The best thing you do for me is that you're madly in love with Jesus. And I tell them once a month, if you ever fall out of love for God, you have two choices. Get back in love or get off my team. Because I don't care how good you are at making videos if you don't love Jesus. I don't need you anymore, because that's the best gift you give me is your love relationship with God. Amen, everybody? Y'all with me? Y'all okay? Can y'all breathe in, breathe out? We all right? Wipe on, wipe off. Everybody all right? Okay, all right. Second is the face of the man. And Pastor Steve already kind of gave a bit of this in his endless announcements we had a minute ago, all right? So... I didn't think I was ever going to get to preach up here. But anyway, so I have learned in this Aussie, New Zealand, Pastor Steve culture that's how you show love, is you pick on people. So I love you. So anyway, they call it sledging over there. Anyway, help me, Jesus. Okay. But it's the face of the man is a love for people. It's a deep love for people. And what's happening, I want you to follow this, is... the very thing that we are in the business of doing, which is people, is the very thing that makes us not good with people. It's people. Wouldn't the world be so great if it wasn't for all those people, right? You know what I'm saying? It's easy to get offended. It's easy to get hurt. It's easy to get let down. And just, can you look in my eyes, especially young leaders? Please don't make bad decisions there. Please don't let that happen to you and say, never again. No, please don't. Forgive. Keep your heart clean. Keep loving people. Keep taking risks with people. Don't ever get suspicious of them. Don't ever I'll never let that. Don't do that. You have to have this face of a man. The book of Luke. Luke's job was to show that Jesus was a man. That's why Luke tells more of the parables than any other. Because great people tell stories, man. They love to tell a good story, right? They're in the people business. It's the face of the man. It's Jesus' constant reminder. You don't lord over people. You become the slave of all. He was telling his key leaders that we're just going to have this attitude of a servant, a team player, and somebody who's authentic. If I was to say, Chris, what's a people person? It's just a servant, a team player, somebody who's just incredibly authentic. And I would just warn you, if you're carrying any kind of a wound towards somebody or you have anything in your heart, I almost brought you this. I actually switched in the green room. I just felt like God wanted me to bring this message to you. But one of the message, I was going to talk to you guys about the priestly garments. And the second thing that the priest puts on, now check this out. The second thing the priest puts on is what's called the breastpiece of decision. It's actually, they actually wear names. It's the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, because here is the hope, that you stand on the legacy of the great people in your life. And because they're in your life, you do more. And that's the very opposite of what the devil does. He wants to write, some of you guys have the wrong names written over your breast piece. And it's the breast piece, check this out, of decision. Meaning, your current view of people determines how you make decisions. That's so, I got goosebumps saying that. Because what you think about people determines how you make decisions. And that's why you have to, some of you need to, at conference, you need to get these wrong names scratched off and some new names written back on. Praise God, you can have Steve Kelly and Paul DeYoung and great people who believe in you written, and you don't have to aspire to do what they do one day. They invite you to stand on their shoulders in this network and say, come on, and you can have them names written over your heart. Are y'all listening to me, everybody? It's important. It's one of the faces you've got to carry. It's just this incredible love for people, love for people. I tell my staff, write notes. I actually went to one of the business guys in our church, Pastor Steve. I went to his business. He wanted me to come see it. He's opening a carpet business. He wanted me to see it. And I went to his office. He said, oh, come on. He's so proud of his new business. He was a big giver in our church. I was like, all right, man. We were going to go to lunch. Oh, but I want you to come see my business. He brought me to his office. He had framed a handwritten three-sentence note that I wrote to him. Like, it was like, love you, appreciate you, thank you. I mean, it wasn't nothing fancy. And he had framed it, everybody. I remember leaving there going, I don't write enough. If it means this much, I don't write enough. I mean, you'll never go wrong increasing your people skills and getting all things people right in your heart. Can I hear a good amen, everybody? Third face, are y'all getting anything out of this? Third face is the face of the eagle. The eagle. And I say the eagle represents dignity, respect, excellence, work ethic. We start on time, we end on time. Why? Because that's one of the faces. That's the book of Matthew, by the way. Matthew was the precise one. Why? He was an accountant. He quotes the Old Testament the most. He's going to show you, he's going to give you the reference where that comes from. Like, you know, it's that exact, by the way, it's my favorite gospel. And this is of the four qualities, this is the one I do blindfolded. I have to work on all the other three ones. But this one, man, it's just, I don't know, it's just my thing, man. Just all things, just get it on time. My dad was in the military, and I was sharing with the brother who picked me up. He actually serves our country as a captain in the Navy, and he told me he's landed on aircraft carriers over 800 times. Anyway, he's in the room. Y'all want to say thank you to him for his service to our country? Yeah. We had the best time talking about all that, but I love it. And I know it doesn't look like it. I mean, I'm fat and all that now, but I love it. And so he was all, I mean, I don't think he's got 1% body fat. And I was thinking, I was trying so hard, but anyway. But brother, anybody who understands anything, my apologies to those of you from other country, but all you Americans know what that eagle represents for us. I mean, first time I ever saw a bald eagle in real life was in Northern California. I was on a camp with Rick Bizet and his son, and I had my son Michael, and we were going whitewater rafting. Rick says, there's an eagle. I said, where? We pulled over. I'd never seen one before, so I wanted to see it. We pulled over. He goes, it's right there. I couldn't see it. So Rick, pow, he clapped his hands real loud. Y'all, that eagle with one flap, boom, just one flap, was flying and just kind of didn't fly away from us, just kind of circled us. Never took another flap. Just, Just like, it was just, we were just all four, two dads, two kids, like, My country tis. I mean, I was having a moment. You know what I'm saying? Dude, I was like, God bless America. I mean, it was, why? Because that animal is majestic. It commands our respect. It's just like, oh my goodness. Did you know that one of the faces of our God is, oh my goodness. I mean, there's power, praise God for that. There's people, praise God for that. But there's this, they said it in the book of Mark, people were overwhelmed with amazement and said that Jesus does all things well. Wow, he just does it differently. Just love that. The attention to detail, the doing things before we're asked. I tell my staff, you want to please me? Do three things. Do all things well. Do them before I ask you to do them. I will reward somebody so much for initiative. You, those of you who are not senior leaders in this room, trust me, you want to work your way up the food chain, don't wait to be told. We love it when you go. When I say, hey, John, I need you to go. Pastor, it's already done. Really? I love you. And I mean, you just. And then to do it better than I actually expected it to be done. Like, take it beyond. And I said, I'm not trying to toot my horn, but honestly, my dad raised me this way. My dad literally, our lawn was, I mean, it looked like he had done it with scissors. It was perfect. You come on a Church of the Highlands campus, and there ain't a blade out of place. I mean, flowers, I mean, it's my dad's thumbprint over the thing. And I was a subordinate for 18 of these now 33 years. At his church, my home church in Louisiana. And my pastor, I'll just tell you another little trick. They'll talk about stuff, and they don't talk about everything. And you need to listen to what they're talking about, because that's what you need to be working on, all right? And my pastor was all fired up about this new TV station that he bought. And it was big time. And it was ABC, us, CBS. It was on basic cable back in the day. I mean, that was a big deal. Channel 4, WLFT in Baton Rouge. And so he's going to do like an Oprah-style show every day, like from 10 to 11, just kind of a talk show, share the word kind of a thing with live guests. When, you know, I did my job. I had to do small groups in a part of our town, and that wasn't my job. But that's all he talked about. I thought, you know what? I'll carve out an hour in my schedule to go over there for the first day just to kind of cheer him on. I was the only staff member that did, other than the television staff that were already there. But when I got there about 10 minutes to 10, scurrying everywhere, I said, what's going on? They say, Pastor Larry's guest hadn't showed up yet. So really, and they got him on the phone about that time and said, hey, where are you? He says, oh, I'll be there in about 20 minutes. He goes, man, it's a live show. He goes, oh, I thought it was recorded. I thought I could be a little late. Oh, I'm so sorry, I can't get there in 10 minutes. And Brother Larry looked, my pastor looked at me and said, you're my guest. And the producer went, 5 minutes? I'm like, what's the topic? Quote, I'll ask you long questions to give you time to think of a good answer. That's what he said. Like, I don't have a topic. I don't know. But I'll stretch it out, give you time to think. I'm like, 1 minute, are you serious? They're putting makeup on my face. I'm like, what? What? True story. 5, 4, 3. Hello, everybody. I'm Pastor Larry Stockstill. Welcome to Lifeline. I'm joined today by my co-host, Chris Hodges. Not special guest, co-host. And I was on television in 180,000 homes 5 days a week for 5 years. That's a true story. That's called attention to detail, everybody, all right? Yeah. And I'm just saying, if you want your ministry to grow, we've got to cultivate our closeness with God. Can I hear a good amen? You cannot forget the people factor. You got to get better at it. Write more notes. I mean, get the names over your heart right. I mean, get all that right. Just, you got to get the people thing right, because we're in the people business, everybody. And then when you do, I would rather you do fewer things extremely well. Stop trying to do everything. Just nail down a few things. Get them right. Do some debriefs. We ask ourselves every single week, before we work on next Sunday or the next thing, could we have done it better, and how? And we don't ask the same people. We'll bring in new voices. What did you see? I mean, why can we? Is there any way we can make it better? Because, man, I want to do things well. I want to have the face of the eagle in my ministry. Amen, everybody? And the last gospel, of course, is the gospel of Mark. And Mark has no genealogy. I mean, the genealogy of John is in the beginning was the Word. Because he's God. That's why. That's the genealogy. In the genealogy of Matthew, it goes back to Abraham because he's showing he's the king of the Jews. He's this king. He's this excellent king. The genealogy of Luke goes all the way back to Adam because he's a person. It's a focus on people. Mark doesn't have a genealogy because who would want to know the genealogy of a servant? Mark was determined to show he loves you, cares for you, and that's why we have the most miracles in the book of Mark. Mark's face, the book, which is really probably Peter's gospel, by the way. Mark, Peter, you know, he's so impulsive. He was like, Mark, can you help me write this? I mean, that's probably how that happened, actually. But it gives you another face, and it's the face of the ox, the face of attitude. I'm all about you. I have an attitude that's just Jesus the servant. Jesus cares about people. Just the person who brings freshness and life to every broken situation. And that's why you have 35 recorded miracles in the book of Mark alone. Because he's trying to show, oh, you hurt? Oh, he'll brighten your day in every way. It's attitude. Actually, we measure our staff on, do you love God? Do you love people? Do you do things with excellence? How's your attitude? Attitude, my friends, is the X factor. Attitude gets modeled. Now, I'm not just trying to say this because I'm at this particular church, but it's just the truth. And both these men down here, and Pastor Steve and Pastor Paul, they are the happiest, best attitude. There's never a problem. We can fix it. It's just great. We can do it. It's an attitude that you have to possess to do ministry well. You have to have it. It's just, oh, it's just going to be all right. Honestly, I'm such a task-oriented person. I got to work on this. I got to work on it. Man, because I walk in a room, I'll see a row of chairs messed up. I got that eagle thing going on. Like, there's a person crying over, like, dude, you messed up that whole row of chairs right there. You know, I don't see that. I got to work on it. I'm just be very honest with you. Paul, though, is my hero in Scripture outside of Jesus. Because Paul, man, had that attitude, man. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. So I got stuff going on inside, and you'll never know it. Because I have made a choice. He says, I am poor, yet I make everybody else rich. Just love that verse. 2 Corinthians 6:10. Having nothing, but I possess everything. Just has this winning attitude. Attitude. It's just so important. I have 5 kids. Some of y'all know that. I have a lot of kids. I didn't really plan on having that many. I wanted 2. My wife wanted 3, and so we had 5. And so I always tell people we should have had the same one. So anyway, but. So, and I know which 2 are mine, by the way. I know which 3 are hers. Anyway, that's another. Every parent in this room knows what I'm talking about right there. It's so true. And But I don't have 5 kids because I like them. I have 5 kids because I like my wife. Can I get a better amen, somebody? But I was very involved in the parenting process, very involved. I mean, obviously. I mean, just. But I mean, I loved the kid. I loved rolling around the floor and watched a lot of Barney the dinosaur. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all remember that? I love you. You love me. We're a happy band. We're the great. Gonna kiss to me, won't you say you? All right, so loved it. Or how about my favorite of all time is Winnie the Pooh, baby. Dude, it's a study in psychology. I mean, you got this nervous little piglet, and you got this know-it-all owl, and you got that grumpy old Eeyore, and then you got the character of all, Tigger, baby. Dude, he comes in on the scene with his song. He's got a song. A wonderful thing about Tiggers. Tiggers are a wonderful thing. The tops are made out of rubber. The bottoms are made out of spring. They're bouncy, trouncy, flouncy, pouncy, fun. But the most wonderful thing about Tiggers is I'm the only one. I'm the only one. I'll be here all day, folks. Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. But this is the deal, and this is what every staff member needs to, you need to use this line. Tigger, do you want to go ice skating, apple picking, anything? Sure. That's what tickers do best. It doesn't matter what you ask him, that's his line. Just love that. Love that. Hey, here's my tip. Be enjoyable. Here's the way I say it. Take responsibility for the environment. I tell my staff, take responsibility for the environment. If you don't like it, it's up to you to make it different. Be positive. I need a can-do attitude. And last one is be loyal. Be enjoyable. Be positive. Be loyal. I got your back. I ain't got to worry about you. I don't want to have to worry about you. I need to know you're going to be there through thick and thin. I'm loyal. Amen, everybody? And so my prayer for you, I got 2 minutes and 56 seconds to pray for you. And just, man, you just need that anointing on your life. You need that face, the face of God. And if you take on that face of the lion and the man and the eagle and the ox, the promise of Scripture is that a fresh breath of fresh air will happen throughout the environment. I mean, it'll just come breathe, and lives are changed because we have been transformed into his likeness with an ever-increasing glory. Amen, everybody? Amen. Come on, I need a psalmist on a guitar or a keyboard or something. Come on up, my brother. Yes, sir, I'll take you. I want you on the keys for me. Y'all stand to your feet, everybody. Come on. You've been an amazing audience. Thank you. Thank you for listening. This other book I wrote, I teach the four purposes. I taught this at Pastor Steve's, but discovered just 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that the Great Commission was in the Passover in Exodus. And so the Jewish people celebrate four cups of Passover, and it's the Great Commission in the book of Exodus. And so if you like Jewish stuff, have that book too. And again, for leaders, I don't sell. I would like for you just to have them. It's just my gift to you. And just let me know how many we gave away. I want to pay for those myself to bless you guys. Open your hands before the Lord, please. Lord, thank you for these Wave Network leaders. Thank you, God, for that, how you're growing them and advancing them, and you're doing a work inside of them. And Lord, I pray, God, over the next, not just the next 24 hours, but even as we experience conference, God, that you're going to do something fresh, new, and powerful. But God, let us go home looking different. Let us go home with a new face. God, let us take on the likeness of Jesus himself. I pray, God, you would help us take on the face of a lion, more anointing as we spend time with you, power and boldness, I pray. God, the face of a man, let us get our heart right with people, and then, God, help us to be better with people, Lord, and excellence in all that we do, the face of an eagle, God, and an attitude, that this X factor that makes all the difference, God, to bring life, God, into every situation so that we can carry about us, God, the garment of praise for that spirit of heaviness that shows up every Sunday, God. Thank you, Lord, you're using us to bring life and light to the people in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I bless the leaders. God, I pray, this is the only prayer I pray over myself every day, so I'm going to pray it over you. God, I pray, Lord, that you would bless them indeed. Don't give them what they need. Give them more than what they need. I pray, God, that you would enlarge their territory, increase their influence. I pray, God, that your hand would be upon them in a powerful way and that you would keep them from harm. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you guys.